here, and you are in Jenny's Tattletales. And today I have the very, very talented, steamy contemporary romance author, Miss Sadira Stone. Hello, how are you?
Hello, Jenny. Hi, I'm grand.
To see you. So your series name is the Bangers Tavern Romance Series, and today's spotlight is on Opposites Ignite. Look at it. I love the cover. I actually really enjoyed that cover. I like
it. Isn't it gorgeous?
It really is. Who is your cover artist?
It's Dar Albert is her name. I think she's in Washington State, but she might be in BC.
Oh, really?
And her company is called Wicked Smart Design. Highly recommend. She's great.
I love it.
It wasn't easy finding someone who looked like Rosie, but she hit it. She nailed it.
Oh, that's even better when they get the vision. That's so great.
Right. And she found me and Eddie, because these two are supposed to be exactly the same height. You know how romance heroes are usually these huge hulking guys. And Rosie is a curvy heroine, as you can see. She's got tattoos all over her. She's an aspiring tattoo artist.
I love it.
In the first book in the series, I described her as having electric blue hair. She's just modeled on lots of people that I've met in the neighborhood in Tacoma where the series takes place. We are a heavily tattooed town and, you know, a lot of very colorful people. I'm just so pleased that she found that model and put it together. It's lovely.
Well, one thing I really love is that she's plus size. That's nice. That's great. It's great that you have that. And you had just told me, I could hopefully share in the middle of our little thing here, is that you are about to get your first tattoo.
Yes, tomorrow. I'm excited.
You're so excited.
Yes. It's something that I wanted to do for a long time. And then when things finally opened up again, I thought, well, okay, do it now.
Yeah, I have three. I don't have one on my shoulder, but I do have a big one on my back, and I have two on my ankles. And the ones on my ankles were a little bit tricky, but I think this is going to be it's not as bad there.
Right. I've read this is one of the less painful places, so I'll start here.
Good. Oh, that's so nice. Okay, so, you know, we are coming out of this whole COVID thing, and what I'm wondering is, how did COVID affect your writing? You know, did it change your writing? Did you learn anything about yourself during these months of seclusion?
Yeah, I think I definitely learned the meaning of the phrase languishing. I'm sure you've read about that. We're not really sunk in the depths of depression, but we're not exactly thriving. We're languishing.
Yeah, so, great word.
Yeah, the first 6 months were pretty productive for me. I was working on writing this one and promoting this one, the first book in the series, Christmas, which came out in October. This is Christmas Rekindled.
I love it.
And so, you know, I was I wrote this one during. Let's see, gosh, what is time anymore?
Right.
So we stopped going anywhere in March of 20.
Yes.
Okay. And so I had two books come out with the Wild Rose Press, Love, Art, and Other Obstacles, which is in a previous series that takes place in a bookshop in Eugene, Oregon, called the Book Nirvana series. And then I put out a call, the Wild Rose Press did, for ice cream themed stories that take place on a beach. And I thought, okay. So it's a novella called Gelato Surprise. And it's quite steamy because all my books are steamy. I modeled it after Ocean Shores, Washington. And, you know, the beaches on the Longview Peninsula. So Washington, Oregon coast. And just invented a beach town called Ocean View. And that was a lot of fun.
And if you've ever been to Ocean Shores, I mean, any of the readers or listeners or viewers out there, my gosh, is that a beautiful place? So great.
It's weird though.
It's what?
It's weird. It's flat.
It is.
And I grew up in California and then lived most of my adult life in Germany. So my beach experience is Northern California and France, you know, where we do not drive cars on the beach.
Right.
And in Ocean Shores, you can just drive your car out there and set up your music and light a fire. And the sand is very flat and packed.
Very flat and packed. I have seen numerous cars go into the ocean, though, so you don't get too close to the ocean. That's really tragic when you actually see the cars kind of bobbling along in the water.
I wrote that into the story because my husband showed me a place called Beard's Hollow, where he used to hang out years ago when he lived up in that area. And that would happen because you had to drive around kind of a rock promontory and you had to do it at low tide, and don't underestimate when high tide's coming.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Okay, yeah, so what is the first book that ever made you cry?
Oh my gosh. I don't think I could even think that far back. I have been an avid reader since I could read, you know, since I was tiny. But I do remember my first romance, and I would think I was 14, and I was on a bus. I was in a drum and bugle corps, which is like a marching band.
Oh, yeah.
And we would travel all over the summer, all over the country to compete. So we were from the San Francisco area, but we went as far east as Chicago. That's a long trip with a bunch of teens on a bus. And I remember that the novel was called Hatshepsut. And I think it was basically a historical romance. Pretty steamy. And, you know, she has an affair. She falls in love with her head priest. I've never been able to find it again. It must have been published in the 70s. But I just remember being completely riveted by this story. I could not put it down.
Yeah. Well, at that age too, you're just like going, holy cow. Mine was Wifey, Judy Blume's Wifey. That was the first steamy one I had ever, well, steamy. I mean, I probably, if I read it today, probably wouldn't be steamy at all. But I was just like, oh my gosh, somebody's writing about this. Wow. That's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Forever by Judy Blume, of course. That was a very formative novel for everybody.
Yeah. She just passed away, didn't she?
She did.
Very tragic. Yeah. So do you write original themes or do you like to write to the mainstream reader?
I write what's in my head. You know, we all work out our own stuff on the page. So my stories always have something to do with a heroine who is pushing back against whatever social expectations are of her, you know. Some of my heroines are a little older, some are a little younger, but family is trying to make their lives smaller, put them in a neat little box, and they're always pushing against that. So, you know, that's my own personal stuff.
That's great.
And I have a small business fetish. In my mind, I'm running all these little small businesses. So I've written about, coffee shops and bookstores and now a bar and things. I like that as a setting because it brings together kind of a found family.
Yeah.
I love found family. So that's in my books. What else? And my characters are often some kind of artist.
Oh.
Given, you know, unlimited time and money, I would take every art class. I like creative people. I love artists. I love art. Not tremendously talented at it, but it's just fun. It's good for you. I think it's good for the soul.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have you ever been up to Bellingham?
I have not.
You should go up there and see some of their local artisans. There's a beautiful gallery. I think it's called the Chuckanut Bay Gallery, and they have glass blowers and they have potters and they have, photographers, all of this. It's all local artisan. And it's so much. I love going to those. I'm right there with you. I love that too. Anybody that's creative, you can spend hours talking to them and picking their brain about great things. So that's a great way to be. Now, if you were not a writer, would you be a small business owner?
You know, my dream business would be, and I saw something like this once years ago, a bookshop that sells new and used books and hosts events by local, local authors, but also is an event space, also sells artwork and other handmade things by local people, local artists and artisans, like, you know, the soaps and the candles and all the cool stuff, the sculptures and the jewelry. So that it's a place where it's, you know, a combination of bookshop and artist co-op.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Anything that's, well, writing is very creative too. So, I mean, you know, that creative, it feeds your creative soul. That's beautiful. I love that. Yeah. So you were talking about that your scenes are, you got a steamy, you're a steamy romance writer. Does writing the opposite sex or writing the sex scenes challenge you in any way?
Yeah.
What's your process for doing it? Do you like, is it, So when you're writing from a male perspective, how are you doing that? Are you listening to conversations? Are you asking your hubby? Are you just thinking about it? What's your process there?
I mean, I'm old and I was a high school teacher for 27 years. I have come to know well, you know, I dated, this is not the first time I've been married. I've come to know a lot of male humans well. And I think the key is just to remember that guys are humans, they're people. And it helps to sometimes, if I'm unsure of like phrasing what a guy uses word, ask some guys. It bugs me as a reader when I read something that's supposedly written from a man's point of view, and it sounds like the words that would come out of a woman's mouth. You know, yeah. I try not to be too heteronormative, you know, binary, whatever about it. But it's, I mean, it's a mark of good writing, period, to have each character sound like a different person.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not good when they all sound the same. So, you know, listen to people talk to people, and actually reading good fiction helps because you see how other people do it well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't find it difficult to imagine like what a love scene would be like from the guy's perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Good answer. What is your favorite part of writing life? Do you have a favorite part? Is there, when you have like you're coming up with you're sitting down for the first time, you got your new book, what is your favorite part?
Editing, actually, which makes me sound like a real weirdo.
Oh my God.
Getting that first draft down is the most difficult thing. You can see behind me, I've got, you know, this is my whiteboard. I'm using the basic structure set out by Gwen Hayes, Romancing the Beat.
Oh, yes.
And then over here, and it's almost empty now, is a cork board where I have three other plot threads that intersect. And as I take an element off those are my outline. And as I take an element off the outline, because I'm a kinesthetic learner, so I like physical objects I can manipulate.
Yeah.
Then I have the great joy of writing it into the story and then throw this in the trash. And it feels like, yes, there's one more thing done.
It's like a to-do list that you just scratch off the next item. Yeah. Oh, wow. Now, so do you use Scrivener? All of those things?
Yep.
Yeah. Now, why don't you use Scrivener? I'm interested.
I tried it a little bit. I was in a critique group and two of the three other people loved it. But I found that it was just duplicating something that I already do pretty efficiently with Microsoft Word and paper.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't need to learn a new program. I gave it a good try, but
yeah,
it didn't add any benefit for me. Do you use it?
I have tried it, and it's the same kind of thing. To me, it doesn't translate super well, or I can't get it to translate super well when I'm going from laptop. Like we go boating, half of our lives are spent on my boat. So, you know, I'll be here and then I'll be trying to work on something there. And sometimes it doesn't translate super well. And I love the idea of it, but like you just said, putting it all up on the cork board and you're doing the same exact thing. So that's an interesting, and I'm visual and I'm kinetic as well. So I'm going to give that actually a try, because I think that's a really great way to do it. If you can't do it on the computer, do it live and in person. That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you have a favorite real life superhero? Is there someone in your life that you just really?
Somebody that I admired tremendously was my high school drama teacher.
Oh.
Her name was Lisbeth Marr. She passed away a few years back. She was, when I knew her, a former Las Vegas showgirl in her 50s.
I love it.
She had the best legs. She had great legs and could sing. And she and her husband they ran the theater department at our school, which was a pretty big school in California. She just had this way of reaching into the teenage psyche and motivating us. It just, I always felt so terrible if I let her down in any way. And helping people blossom. And I became a theater teacher later on in life for a little while. And it's a wonderful home for all those smart, creative, odd duck kids come together and form a real it's family, you know.
Yeah.
And I was never in competitive sports. That just wasn't part of my world. And this was a huge influence in my life. So she was able to take that little tiny timid spark in me and, you know, help it to burn brighter. And I hope that I've been able to do something like that for the kids that I worked with. And I really admire people who can just look at somebody else and really see them and see their strengths and help magnify that. Help that you
can. Oh, beautiful. Yeah, it takes a special person. Not everyone can do that. Not every teacher can do that. But I have certainly known many teachers in my life that have been like that too, that can bring you to your better place. That's really cool. Let's see. Now, do you have a newsletter?
I do.
And so here's my next question. How would someone benefit from signing up for your newsletter?
They get really bad jokes. Inspired by one of my favorite romance podcasts, Smart B Word. I don't know what I can say on your channel. Trashy Books.
Yeah.
she ends every podcast with a truly bad joke. It's usually, she calls them dad jokes, but it's some kind of awful pun. And I love those. My daughter and her husband are tremendous punsters, and we swap puns back and forth. And so I search out a bunch of jokes on whatever the theme of the month is.
That's great. Yeah, that's a great way to do it. That's fun.
There's always some kind of giveaway too. You know, it might be a group giveaway people can enter, or if I'm not in one, I'll, you know, give away one of my books or with some Tacoma swag, although we're moving soon. So it won't be Tacoma swag anymore. It will be Las Vegas swag.
You're going to Las Vegas?
We are.
Oh, wow. When is that happening?
Later this summer. We wanted to move sooner. My husband's son and his lovely wife live down there and her family. And there may be some grandchildren coming. So my husband really wanted to go live down there. And it took him a while to talk me into it, but I'm looking forward to it now.
He's
had some medical problems, so we're working on that, and we will probably be moving in July.
Oh, wow.
Not the best time, right?
Oh, I was just going to say, gosh, I was telling you, we were just at a wedding in Mexico, and he's like a surrogate son to me, and they live in Las Vegas. He also runs our satellite program for our business there, and it's hot. Just invest in some air conditioning right away.
Yeah.
For July time anyway. So what's coming up for you? What do you got coming up?
I'm working on the third book of this Bangers Tavern series. By the way, Bangers Tavern was named for the sausage. Get your mind out of the gutter. You know, bangers and mash, traditional British pub fare. Bangers Tavern was originally a British pub, and then the current owner bought it, kept the name. Anyway, last month I was working mainly on a little offshoot novella in the Bangers Tavern series that is tentatively called, oh gosh, Cupid, Crazy Risks, and Tater Tots.
Love it. That's a great name.
Tater Tots are an important element of Bangers Tavern menu. And that's coming out in a charity anthology in February.
Oh, cool.
Sponsored by Krista Harper, who's also a romance writer and has a wonderful podcast called Swoon Worthy Books.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's a cute podcast.
Yeah.
I'm back on. The next one is Anna and Diego's story. Anna is the younger sister of the heroine of book one, Charlie.
Okay.
And she is a pediatric nurse, and Diego is the cook at Bangers Tavern, and he is working on opening his own food truck.
Ah, I love it. Diego.
Yet another small business to lust after, you know? Wouldn't you love to run a food truck?
That would be fun, too. I actually think that would be fun. The people that you would meet with a food truck, that would be fun. Yeah. Okay, so my last question is, what would you most like to say to the readers and listeners out there?
I guess it's tacky to say buy my books, but okay, here's what I would like to say. If you read a book, no matter who wrote it, what the genre, and you enjoyed it, please take the time to leave a review. Reviews mean so much to writers.
Yeah,
They really help our careers and feed our hearts. So please leave reviews when you like a book.
Yeah, I love that. Perfect. Perfect, perfect response. Okay, well, this is, again, Sadira Stone. And if you would like to, are you there?
Frozen.
Oh, yeah. Can you see? Yeah, you froze for a minute there too. Oh, you froze again. Are you there? Are you there? Can you hear me?
I am.
Okay, there you are.
I can.
Okay, <Yes. laughs> well, we're coming to the close anyway. So I was just going to say thank you so much for coming on. And if you would like to know more about Sadira Stone and her works, her wonderful works of art there, go on to sadirastone.com. And we will have links to all of her information in her author. Well, she did a guest blog. You did a guest blog up for us this time. So
yes.
Go on there. You'll get all of her links. And it was such a pleasure. It's been a long time since I saw you, and I'm just so happy to see you.
Thank you so much, Jen. Yeah,
have a great, great day, and happy returning into normal life there.
Thank you. Same to you.
Let me know about the tattoo.
I'll post pictures.
Yeah, good. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.